Maybe you are new in this town or new here this morning, and you just want to say, Lord, I bring myself to you. I don't know where this is going to go from here, but here I am. Be kind to me and intervene in my life also. We worship you in this place. While we're in this moment, let's be a church full of disciples. If just search your heart for a moment. Is there maybe some unforgiveness or bitterness there towards a person? Let's bring it before God. Say, Lord, I don't know how to handle this, but I'm putting my finger on this. I am mad at this person. I bring it before you. Give me the grace to forgive right now. Grace with myself, grace for that person. Yeah, this might sound just very simple and straightforward, but that's exactly what it is. I just feel God is saying to some people here this morning that there's fear and it's almost like something is on your chest. I really just feel God is saying, just trust me. Just trust me. You will be okay. I will look after your heart. Okay? Just trust Him. Amen. You can have your seat this morning. Just look to the person behind you and say, "Bye, welkom hierso. Welcome back to church." And tell them not to spread the virus. We don't want to lock down again.
The picture that I got was of a tree. Half the tree didn't have leaves, and the other half of the tree had lots of leaves with lots of green leaves, but it's rooted in the Lord. And as the good branch started to move, and it was the Lord was saying, it is by my spirit, not by your might, but by my spirit that I'm going to bring the newness.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that confirmation. Look, one of my greatest fears is when I make jokes and people don't laugh, all right? And so just to break the ice, can I just like try one and then you guys just laugh? Is that okay? But just for this one, just laugh and then I'll be at ease, all right? Okay, so we come from Secunda. We've been there 8 years, but we are originally from the Western Cape. This is Boerlanders, okay? So are you ready? Can I make, this is a true story, but for some of you it might be funny. But I just want you, after I say the sentence, just to laugh for me. If it's not funny, just go, ha, 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 all right. Okay? But I really am a blowbulb. Now, you must laugh, no less, ha, 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 ha. Like, okay, I really am. There's some people that really got angry now. I don't know, like, what did Andres do? Getting this guy here. It's so amazing to be back together. Just before we get going, just ask the person next to you, if you have to choose for the rest of your life, the rest of your life, you can never go back on this decision. If you have to choose between hamburgers and pizzas for the rest of your life, what will you choose? Just ask the person sitting next to you. Wat kies jy? Right, let's see. Who says hamburgers forever? Who says pizzas forever? Wow, pizzas by far. Give yourself a clap if you voted for pizza. Look, yeah, Andres and Lisa are with their family, because I think some of you all know that Andres' dad passed away in December, so they're having a memorial service this weekend. So it's not ideal that for my first Sunday, Andres is not here. It's not ideal, but it's right for them to be with their family. Amen? So this is exactly how God planned it. We will still be up here together a lot. Let me just tell a story about Andres here for a moment while he's not here. Is that okay? Don't tell him. Phone's off. When I was doing a ministry training program about 11 years back, there was a very difficult situation in Shofar, and there was a man that was asked to leave his job to come and do the ministry training program, and he left his job, and the idea back then is that when you were commissioned or called by a church to come work, so that you leave your job and they give you an income to look after your family while you do the ministry training program. So while you're doing the program, back then you already left your job, and 3 months in the news came that there was no longer a job for this one gentleman. And it was a hard situation, because some of us were sitting there, whew, like, we still have jobs. You just left your job, and he was married and he had children. And no one knew what to do. And there was one or two people that said, but no hard feelings, but that's just life. You know, sometimes there's a job and sometimes there's a job no more. And Andres came. And he said, no, he has a job. We don't know where, and we don't know who will take the pay cuts, but this man has a job done. And he stood up in that moment, and no one opposed him, because he did the right thing. And from that day, my relationship with Andres started to grow, and I have seen him as a man of honor the last 12 years. Amen? And over and over, I have seen in Shofar leadership that man that came in there and said, no, this is not right. This is a way. And sometimes it was well received, and sometimes it was not so well received, because it was a hard word. But what I want to tell you is, if you are a part of this congregation, you've been here many years, I want to tell you, you are part of a good church. And if you are new around here, like me, I want to tell you, you just arrived at a good church. I'm not saying that because it's my church. This is my first Sunday here. I'm telling you, this is a good church. That's why I'm here. To partner with what God is doing in this church. So I'm not here to make you disciples. I am here to be one of the disciples. I am not here to tell you what to do. I am here to do it with you. I'm here to partake. Okay, I'm also very selfish. Yes, I want you to grow, but I am also going to grow. Amen. I'm in it for me also. I'm also following Jesus. Let's do this together. We'll have more time to get to know one another, but for now, let's get into this. Just tap the oak next to you and say, pizzas. Okay, cool. It's one of my weaknesses when we get people together, the people person in me comes out and we make jokes and we forget what we have to do here. But I will not forget. I've got notes, so don't worry. I'm carrying on with a theme or an idea that God has been stirring in the heart of Andres the last month or so. And that is that idea that we are in a battle. We are the resistance. Who remembers that? We are called to stand. We are called out of a way of living. And as we connect with God, we are called into a new kingdom. And we experience, at times, the battle fiercer than at other times. But we sense it in any case, that there's something going on. And we are following Jesus. And one day we will be delivered from the resistance that's, or from the evil one that's so continuously come against us. But for now, we experience it in certain times. Like we sometimes feel like, man, this is really pressing down on me right now. And God gives us grace to deal with these times of battle, or this times of oppression that we experience. And we're going to head into this. What does he give us? He gives us the armor of God. Now, I want to read this piece for us. Andre spoke about the belt of truth. And today we're going to focus on the breastplate of righteousness. And what is it? Now, unfortunately, this piece of scripture becomes a quotable thing. I'm going to quickly put on the armor. You know, you learn it in high school. Okay, all right, so put on the helmet, put on the breastplate. Nothing wrong with memorizing it, but there is great value in exploring these things. What is God trying to say to us about this armor? And get into each part so that he can equip us for our battle, right? Let's read together. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 10. And the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, what happens in verse 12? Wow. There's a lot of things there. Authorities and cosmic powers. And I don't think the idea of verse 12 is that we're trying to get in there and have a very great explanation of what exactly is an authority, what exactly is a cosmic power, what exactly does this present darkness mean. What we need to understand is that there's an enemy that's coming against us. What we should focus on is the next verse. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand all these we mentioned in verse 12, in the evil day. And having done all, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, that is what Andres ministered on last week, and today, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's just carry on for a few more verses. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance and making supplication for all the saints. What is this breastplate of righteousness, and how does it work? It's almost like a old, as you vandaag for a tiener, een van die oud type spelers gee. What is this thing and how, what does it do? We have to ask, okay, what is the Apostle Paul asking us to do? What does he want us to have? What does he want us to experience by saying, put on the breastplate of righteousness? It sounds a little bit figuratively, but it should not be too hard to understand when someone say, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let me explain for a moment. Imagine you are in a conflict situation with a family member, all right? It's been a hard time. There's been some conflict. There's been some missed expectations, and there's been a breach of contact. You guys haven't been in contact for a while. There's been bitterness. And now you're coming back to meet with this person. There is a coffee date coming up where you're going to sit down and talk. And one of your good friends that understands the situation comes to you and say, man, as I was thinking about your appointment with this family member, I feel I have to say this. Put on humility. Put on humility. Now, humility is not something in your closet. You can't put it on like a cap. But you understand what he's trying to say because he's speaking the language of the heart. Right? And so you get to the meeting and the person irritates you again, frustrates you again. You want to be very mad. And you remember, hey, I want to put on humility. And your face softens. And unexpectedly, this person opens up. I'm like, okay, listen, if I'm really honest, I am also sorry. And there it goes, because someone just said, put on humility, which is not that hard to understand. Or, for example, let's say you are on your way to work. There's a very there's a difficult business case, or you must sign on buying a new home or whatever, and your wife puts her hand on you and say, listen, love the people, but put on the lenses of vigilance. Oh, there's no such thing as a lens, literally, of vigilance. But you understand what she's saying, because she's speaking the language of the heart, right? And so when you're there, you remember, I should not be emotionally swayed upwards or downwards. Look at what's on the table, and Lord, I pray that you'll help me with vigilance. We understand this language. And right here, Paul says, so put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is he saying? What does he want us to do? That's very important. Now, I'm going to leave you today with three things, three applications of what will probably come out when you fit the breastplate of righteousness. But first, we're going to quickly talk about what it's not and what it is, so that you know what you put on. So there's a woman, let's just call her the seeking woman, who found, this is a true story, who found faith, connected with Jesus, gave her heart to Jesus, and she was a writer. So what she did is she journaled back to the time before she knew God, to almost in a way write her journey into faith. And it's not a unique journey. It's the journey of all of us, but it's well written. And this is more or less what she said. She said, I was always looking to be right with God. Okay, righteous. I want to be right with God. But in my church, what I learned is that if I go to church, if I do the things church people do, I will be right with God. And so as a young girl, she started to look for righteousness. You can almost say she looked for something to fit over her heart. But because she was a self-critical person and also focused on being, she wanted to be real, she realized at one stage, I cannot do this because I have a double life here. It's like I'm trying to be this good person, but I actually fail. And she looked in her life and she saw many of her peers getting into romantic relationships. And this is what she said to her heart, if I can get a man to love me, it will show me that I am lovely and maybe God will also love me. And so she started to reach for that. And she ended up in abusive relationships where she should not have been, and she couldn't get out of him soon enough before being injured. And she realized, that's not it. Being broken in relationships, she developed a heart for the poor and the needy, and she saw people doing charitable works, and she thought, if I do good in this world to the best of my ability, surely I will be righteous if I can look after those who don't look after themselves. And so she gave herself to charity. She did it so much, but at one point she started to despise the people she gave the charity to, because why are you so stupid to get into this position again? And she also started to despise people that would not help her. So she realized it cannot be the road of righteousness, because there's anger and frustration building as I walk in this journey. So I cannot find righteousness here. And then one day a friend came and said, listen, no, you're looking at the wrong places. You've got a great job. You've got a great qualification. You earn a good salary. You should feel happy about yourself, because look at what you have achieved. And so she ventured deeper into the corporate world and looked to find more validation, more love. And then she broke when she became self-focused, selfish, and cold. And then she found him, Jesus, the one who could do for her what she could not do for herself. She could not live the righteous life she wanted to live, but he did. And when she cried out to him, it's like the prophet afgekom. And there was this moment after 15 years of wandering up and down. And here is what this woman, and this is us, what she realized. In her search for righteousness, You can never find it with your hands pointed towards the inside. You can only find it with your hands reaching up. Because righteousness gets put on you from someone else. Our salvation, our righteousness, commentators would say, it is alien, which means it comes from somewhere else than yourself. It is not achieved, it is received when you open your heart to Jesus. So when we talk about put on the breastplate of righteousness, Paul is asking us to take something from God that is not ours, our own. But it becomes, or it's not from us, but then it becomes our own as we put it over our heart. The breastplate of righteousness that you can put on today is a breastplate for you, but it's not from you. It's from Jesus. What this woman realized is what we read in Isaiah 64. I realized this in my life. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds, our attempts, are like a polluted garment. Why? I thought I would find love and righteousness and meaning in romantic relationships. Now I feel dirty. I thought I would find it in charity, but now I feel mad at the person I'm become as I compare what other people are doing, what I am doing. Surely I cannot find righteousness within myself. Yes, it is the truth. What would Paul say to this woman? We're talking about what is this breastplate of righteousness so that we can put it on. We don't have to wonder what Paul would say. We can just read. He said, indeed, this man walked the identical journey, same journey as this woman. I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things. Now count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And here it is. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith. These people that tell our children, you should just believe in yourself. No, no. You're taking them to the end, to their destruction. They want to reach out to someone greater than themselves. Believe in yourself. Believe in Jesus. Amen. Don't reach within. Reach out. His friend Peter wrote this, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive together in the spirit. Talking about an intercession, Jesus comes, the righteous one. He picks you up, unrighteous as you are, and he brings you to the Father. And so what the gospel is saying to us this morning, we could sum it up like this. If we can go to that next slide. Every work done in order to achieve righteousness is a filthy rag. Every work done from righteousness is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. What is the difference here? The righteousness that we get from Jesus, the forgiveness that he offers you. If maybe you're new around here and you're wondering, what should I do to be a Christian? You know, I'm telling you, if a church tells you you should tithe so that you can be acceptable to God, they're lying. If they tell you you must come to this church, they're lying. What must you do? You receive forgiveness by repenting of your sins and turning to Jesus, and righteousness comes to you from another source. And that righteousness is the soil in which a life of obedience can grow. And then Paul says, so I work harder than all of you in the soil. Amen. Is it important to do good works? Depends on why. to earn your salvation? Filthy works. Oh, because I love him. Go, go, go. Are you with me? That's the gospel. Wrong way around, not the gospel. So, just for the nerds here, here's two terms. When it comes to justification, there's only one name. Jesus. When it comes to sanctification, there's many names. Many partake in the growing, the work of becoming more like Christ. But there's only one who comes and scrubs you clean. His name is Jesus. And that's where we find the breastplate of righteousness. It is given to us. Three things. You know, a good pastor always have 3 points and a poem. Okay, I don't have a poem this morning. We'll think about next week or the week after that. Three things that happens when you put on the breastplate of righteousness. Here's the thing. When the friend said to his buddy, listen, when you go and speak to that family member, put on humility. It did something. It was alive. It was on earth. It was not in the sky. It was not a nice idea. Something happened around that coffee table. When he wanted to get mad, his face softened. And in the same way, God is not entertaining us with Guy Fawkes, okay? These things comes off into your life and it hits the ground. The thunder must hit on the earth, all right? Otherwise, we are, I don't know, dreamers and talkers, but it comes into the world and we have to ask ourselves, how does putting on this breastplate of righteousness hit the ground on earth now when we leave? That's very important. When you consider what has been done for you, when you consider that Jesus came near and he carried you to the Father to present you clean because he lived a clean heart. Maybe you've got better words, but I've got this. Your heart melts in love for God. If for a moment you think, man, I do this charity and that, and so I am better than that person. What you are building here is a self-love. And all God must do is accept you because you are great. But if you know, after venturing down many ways, I cannot save myself and someone else came and did it for me. What happens in your heart? It melts. You say, wow, you did that for me? Why do we worship here? Why do we sing? That your heart may melt once again. The opportunity. And now you should ask if you remember the greater scripture. You should ask, but hey, listen, we're talking here about a battle. We're talking about army and weapons and armor, and I'm talking about love. Let me tell you what. The greatest enemy you will face in this world is the idols that come from your heart. But if your heart is melting before God, they can never take you away. On the battlefield of idols, let your heart melt before God. That's how you overcome. You can't fight it. You've tried, man. Blow on the flame of love. Let your heart melt as you remember the breastplate of righteousness covers your heart. We can stop here. You can take that to work. What does that mean? What does that mean right there for that other person at work that irritates you? If it has been done unto you, it should give you grace for that person. Yeah, but they don't deserve it, just as you don't deserve it. It should hit planet Earth, all right? It must come here, in Hermanus, where we go out and work, and where we are productive, where we raise our children, let our hearts melt for God. Are you with me, Vineyards? By still, I say. Ek sal nie nog 'n grapjie maak nie. What is the second thing? Look, there's more than my 3 points, but at least we can start here. The second thing that happens as the breastplate of righteousness, like a blessing comes and covers your heart, you encounter peace in your heart. What peace? What peace? Peace with your person, your past, and your purpose. Peace with who you are and who you're not. What you've done and what you need to do. The pressure is no longer on you to obtain. It's to receive. What this means is the following. If you've always believed that you were supposed to be a worship leader here like Hendrik, talking about it, making peace with your gifts, and the church say, no, please, man, just don't sing over the mic, all right? Then it means it's probably, possibly not your gifting. Make a peace with it. You've got other gifts. Done. Because, you know, some of us are called to be prison singers, right? We never have the right key and we're always a few bars behind, all right? Yes, thank you. So make a peace with it. You're not a good singer. Okay, Lord, you have come to save me and cover me. I present myself for whatsoever. In 2 weeks' time, you walk into Kiddies Church, you come alive. Boom. Present yourself. Make peace with your person, your past, and your purpose. That's it. Each of you here are graced by God. Make a peace with it. Don't strive to be like the guy next to you. The breastplate of righteousness helps us to understand that. Amen. What happens in church when we get number two, it should happen here, and then we carry it out, is competition falls away. I am not better than you because I have the mic. It is just my gift. I had to work with this gift for many years. This is the place where I stand in the church. I promise you, I don't think I'm better than you. If you are packing chairs, I am packing chairs. This is my place to stand. Don't be in competition with me or with a friend. It's irrelevant. It falls away. You know what else falls away? You received what you did not deserve from God. Clicks falls away. Sure, you relate better with some people than others. We get that. Things fall to the ground. Things that matters in the world, it does not matter anymore. We are all washed. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Put on the breastplate of righteousness. What's that, four words? It speaks a lot into our lives. Amen. You know, this was at work in my home this week when my kids were doing tantrums and stuff. I'm like, Lord, I must preach about the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, want to headbutt the wall right now. And God says, just let your heart melt before me. I'll help you. And then gives me grace. As the gospel infiltrates our lives, it should infiltrate our day to day. Amen? Last thing, you are activated for your mission. You are activated for your mission. I obtained, I can put on this breastplate of righteousness because a man came on a mission. And he was literally smashed to pieces on his mission towards me. Wow. Send me also. Here I am. Here I am. What is God activating you for? If it's not the worship team, ask him, all right? And then don't be offended when they tell you you can't sing. Just say, thank you for helping me find clarity. What am I activated for? You will find it. Amen. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. On the plains of spiritual war, idols lose at number one. Competition, where the enemy wants to move with jealousy and comparison, bah, falls to the floor. You are victorious in the battlefield because something is covering your heart. And at number three, the kingdom of the enemy are being raided as we are activated to go and connect with those who don't know Jesus. Your breastplate of righteousness. Consider it and put it on because it surely equips you for every spiritual battle and daily living. Amen? Let's stand in this place. Let's just turn our hearts to the one who gives us this righteousness. Let's turn our hearts, our gaze for a moment and just ponder that Jesus literally walked the earth. His sandals, as he stepped on the dust went up. He did not walk in the air. Okay, he came like you so that he can die for you. Never sinned, not once. He was righteous. He was righteous. That's why he could not be born by the seed of Adam, or he would be like that woman. If he ventured in search of righteousness, he would not find it. Conceived by the Spirit, this perfect life. And then the greatest sin of all time, that the single man that walked the earth who never sinned be beaten to pieces like that. The greatest sin. Also the most glorious moment in the history of the world. If you think of that, you are thinking about your breastplate of righteousness. Surely you have a strong breastplate. In Psalms it says salvation is of the Lord. It comes from Him. Wow. If I had to put something on that I make for myself, it would be filthy and weak. How privileged are we? And I think for today, if you can look at the screen and maybe just ask the Holy Spirit for a moment. Holy Spirit, where do you want me just to land for a minute? And I want you to turn your meditation on Jesus to a prayer. So help my heart to melt, because it became hard as I went to churches who broke me and told me I'm not welcome. I have a hard heart, melted again. Or maybe, man, Lord, I love you, but I'm so at war with myself. Just ask the Holy Spirit to give you the insight. You don't have to war with yourself. It's over. Just breathe. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. It is given to you. Yeah, but I don't deserve it. That's why you can get it. If you can say, but I don't deserve it, that is what you must say. If you say, no, but I actually am, you can't get it. It's not how the kingdom works. You have to say you don't deserve it. And so today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you don't know where to start, you start here. You say, Lord, I don't have anything in my life to put before you as worthy for your forgiveness. I only have a sinful life. I'm coming to you. Please forgive me for my filthy efforts, my sin, my negligence of you. Here I am. Turning my hands up. That's how you become born again. I want to give you a minute where I'm just going to be silent, and just where you are, ponder and pray, and then I'll come in again. You are welcome to sit if you want. tight. If you want to sit, if you stand, but just take a minute in this place. What I want us to do just for 4 minutes or 5 minutes before we go home, it's hard for us to be together in bunches in front. So what I want us to do is to sit down and turn to someone sitting next to you. If you are sitting alone, if someone can be courageous to just take a chair to someone that's sitting alone and just ask the following question, hey, what is standing out for you this morning? If you are new around here, you don't have to give a theological answer. You can just say, man, I feel welcome this morning. That's fine. But let's have everyone say something to someone this morning. Hey, what's stood out for you? If you know the person, you can say, hey, let's pray together. But let's have a conversation. Let's be the body. Ask a person, are you new in this town? Hey, I'm also new. You're not alone. Are you new in this town? And see how you can just be of assistance to them. I'm giving you 5 minutes and then we're going. Thanks. Awesome, everyone. I'm just formally dismissing this meeting. You can sit and chat and pray with someone, carry on. The band's going to minister a bit. You are free to stay. You are free to go. And see you guys next week again. If you are new around here and you're unsure what to do next, just put your name up at the info desk and say, unsure, don't know what to do. We'll phone you and we'll sort you out. God bless you guys.